Francoze proudly presents our unscripted podcast, Voices of Hope. In this first season, you'll hear from extraordinary individuals whose support and service are making a difference. They may look different from each other and come from very different backgrounds, but the one thing they have in common is their love and respect for Haiti. On tonight's episode, we speak to Jean Belizaire, Francoze board member and longtime supporter, about his deep Haitian roots and what inspires him to make change. Here is our interview.
Hello, I'm Jean Garnier Belizaire. My friends call me Ganou. I'm a member of the board of directors of Francoze USA. I'm also the rep on the Francoze rep on the Francoze SA board in Haiti. I'm a banker by profession. One fun fact about me, there's a lot of fun facts about me. a few years ago, I ran with the Bulls in Spain. So,
oh my gosh.
I always put that as one of the crazy things that I've done in my life.
That's definitely a highlight. How was that? I mean, were you terrified? What made you
terrified? Terrified, questioning my sanity. Bulls are bigger than you think, faster than you think, but it was one of the best experiences of.
I bet. I mean, I would be one of the people on the hotel balcony watching all you brave souls.
Yes.
With my phone out recording. That's awesome. And how long have you been on the board at Francoze?
You know, it's funny. I'm going to say 3 years, and things are kind of blurry because, you know, with COVID and everything stopped, it's like I feel like life at some point stopped and we're restarting. So there's this blur in between. So I'm going to say 3 years.
Yeah. I know COVID, everything's a blur.
Everything's a blur.
Yeah. And it feels like it was so long ago, but yet we're still definitely feeling the effects of all of that. And can you tell our audience what is your connection to Haiti?
So I grew up in Haiti. My parents are Haitian. I was born in North Africa. We immigrated here into the United States in the 60s, and then we moved back to Haiti in the 70s. Okay. So my formative years were in Haiti. I grew up, went to school, middle school, high school. And then when it was time to go back to college, when it was time to come to college, I came back to the United States. But and my attraction, why Francoze means so much to me. I'm involved in my community in multiple organizations. I sit on a bunch of non-for-profit boards, community type. Not-for-profit organizations that help local U.S. communities.
Right.
Francoze gave me an opportunity to help Haiti, right? And I'll say this as a caveat. There were some difficult times in my life. And I always, in those moments, when I slept, I dreamt of Haiti. I dreamt I was back in Haiti. So for me, Haiti was, it wasn't a nightmare. It wasn't a bad situation. It's my Shangri-La, and you know, till this day, my father's still there, and I go as often as I can. Unfortunately, with the events, there was a time, again, pre-COVID and during COVID, I would go at least once a month.
Right.
As part of my story, my family has a farm that's been in my family for 150 years, and when I was a kid. I would spend part of my summers on that farm working with the farmers and the folks from the rural areas. Again, another part of Francoze's mission to help the organized poor, the rural poor. I know it. I've lived it. I live with them. I lived among them. I played with them as I was growing up. I played with them until this day. I still have bonds because I still go on my farm and I understand my core. People are not
Right.
telling me. I can tell you what, the rural poor are going through, what women are going through in these situations. So for me, Franco-Xave gave me the opportunity to help, to live and to bring, to give back to a country and a people that made me who I am today.
Right. I mean, that's beautifully said. I love how you said it was like your Shangri-La. You constantly dreamed of Haiti. So, how do you feel about the conversations surrounding Haiti right now? Like, as someone who has that deep-rooted connection, like, I'm really interested to know.
It's unfortunate. And as some people may know, if you go to Haiti, there's like anything in the media, right? There's the hype up, and in all fairness, lately, it has been true how bad things are down there from a security perspective. So the conversation surrounding Haiti is a difficult one because there is a reality that we as Haitians, I know people tend to blame, people are always like to blame others for their misfortune or the great powers, the US. No. We as Haitians need to come together to solve our problems. We can use help, but we have to, and the problems are not that difficult. And it's exactly what Funkos is doing on a micro level that you're supporting through education, through technique, through support, through helping the poor to come out of poverty. People, one of the great strengths of this country is the size of the middle class, is creating a middle class that creates a consumer class that's create prosperity for all. Fonkoze, and through their SFF and through the foundation and through the other family members, is doing that on a micro level.
Right.
And you can only imagine if there was like 100 Fonkozes, right, that were doing the same type of focus work, addressing poverty and the causes and the root, and specifically helping women with families. Because again, in a lot of these countries, a lot of these specifically in Haiti, women are the backbone of the family.
Right.
It's a trend in Latin America, South America, and in third world countries where women bear the brunt of raising the family and are the economic engines of their family. Fonkoze addresses that. So again, if the local authorities and some of the not-for-profits would follow the Fonkoze, we would make a very big leap forward.
Right. I mean, completely agreed here. And you touched on a lot of what I was going to ask about. So back to you and your connection to Haiti. When you were growing up, did your parents place a lot of emphasis on coming back and giving back to the community? Is that why you are so charitable and so involved?
Absolutely. So again, I like I said, my family, we can be described as well-to-do. My mother was a doctor, here a physician here, a pediatrician, and when she relocated to Haiti, started her practice down there. My father was a civil engineer with his own firm, so we grew up, privileged.
Right.
Somebody would describe a little bit well-to-do, but they a couple of things that they insisted on. We had all sorts of friends, poor friends, rich friends. My parents always wanted us to be comfortable in any environment they were, but to also understand, where we're living, understand the environment that which we are and how fortunate we are, but more importantly, that our role in societies to help each other. And specific examples, like I said, my mother was a doctor here in this country, in the US. She moved back to Haiti and she could have, she's a board certified pediatrician. She could have opened up her clinic, her private clinic in, some of the more affluent areas of Haiti, but she decided not to. She opened it in one of the poorest neighborhoods in Haiti And you know, sometimes she got paid and others she didn't. You know, it
Right.
was, you know, whoever can pay what you can pay. And you know, her rule was to provide care for people. My father kind of the same way. And I went to a school, you know, again, a private school, a private Catholic school, but the priest insisted every year we would go into the poorest neighborhoods today that, you know, the police can't even go into.
Right.
And we would go and help with vaccination campaigns. We would walk into these neighborhoods and at any day of time, you know, a nightfall would come and it wouldn't be, oh my God, we gotta get, no, we're just there. We're just,
Yeah.
you know, we're in the what you would describe, I hate these words, like the slums, the poor neighborhoods. I mean, really, really, really poor, impoverished neighborhoods. And that was part that was expected of us. And we did it with my brothers and I. We did it with joy. It wasn't like, it wasn't an imposition. That's the other thing. You know, giving back was almost fun. You know, we would go, you know, we had this list of things to do, and like, and then we would wind up playing soccer, you know, and then all the stuff that we're supposed to do, from voter registration, and then, you know, kids, you know, the
Yeah.
responsibility, and then we're playing soccer, or we're,
Exactly.
you
It
know,
naturally happens.
it naturally happens, and then, you know, the adults would come, what happened? Oh, you know, it's over there. So, so yes, my parents definitely, by their examples of their lives and by their teaching, and like I said, every summer I would spend part of my summer on the farm,
Right.
working the fields or helping out, and you know, and the contrast was like I would go on the farm, in the provinces, yeah, you know, playing with the little kids barefoot, playing soccer barefoot with everybody else. Till this day, my feet are a little mangled from those experiences. And then a couple of weeks later, you know, my parents, okay, let's go to Disney. So the and
Yeah. Wow, that juxtaposition. I
yes
mean,
yes 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 it's the
that must have
Disney.
been, yeah.
Yeah, and we would go to the US again, spend part of our summers, because my again my parents insisted on a well-rounded education. So that's
Right.
why, you know, for
What
me,
age did you start going to the US? Like,
so like I said, we immigrated back. I was 10, 9 when I moved to Haiti, but every other summer we would come back here to the States. So as an adult, like again, I, you know, even in Haiti, we kept in touch with the US via television,
Yeah, I
satellite
mean,
TV.
yeah,
Yeah,
there's
so
everything.
just
So
everything.
was there anything you had to get used to when you moved to the US? Were there any sort of cultural shocks or just anything? I mean, I grew up also in South Korea half the time. So when we first moved here around 8 or 9, even though I grew up largely a military base and around that, there was still a lot of things that was definitely an outsider when I got here.
Right. What a little sh shocked me a little bit when I went to college. I went to school in New Jersey. I found that there was a lot of almost seg people self-segregating. I always thought they would be more of a kumbaya, more of a like college would be the place where cultures, and now some people did it. I just when you just walked into the cafeteria, they were just like group of Filipinos, group of Blacks, group of
Right.
whites, group of Cubans, like everybody stayed in their different lane. And to me, it was kind of shocking and surprising. I always thought that college would be the place where
Everybody comes
people
together.
gathered.
Yeah.
Right. And even on campus, there was a left-wing newspaper, and I never from the left and from the right. It was very, I guess it was America, right? You know, where people stood. I think I was one of the few people who I joined the accounting club, the West Indian club, the Black Wall Street students. You know, I was the top non-Filipino in the Filipino club. I was in the so I joined. I you know, and I always say this to people: if you have a problem with race and different cultures, you're the one with the problem. I'm not, you know, I because
Right.
I'm, you know, and that's been my approach when even coming in this country, where you know, There's still some racism in corporate America, blah, blah, blah. And I with the way I view it, I'm not the one with the problem, you are. So
Right.
I'm going to live my life to the richness of this country can afford me, of the riches of life. And if you're stuck in your little,
Right,
identity,
don't put that on me.
you don't put that on me, that's you.
Yeah. Agreed.
Yeah, I don't, I don't do identity. People are people, and we all have issues. Like I said, if you have a problem, you have it.
Right, we all have those struggles. So
Right.
how would you, on that same, in that same vein, how would you describe the world as it is now? Like,
I mean, we are living in it's sad. It's sad. We are living in a time you would think, I apologize for the dog. I'm working from home today. We are living in a very heightened times where everything seems to be heightened. The politics, the cultural issues, and even in Haiti, if we're talking specifically about Haiti, is a powder keg. You read the media every day. A couple of weeks ago, 459 people died of gun violence in the span of a week.
Right.
It's devolving into lawlessness, and nobody seems to have a solution or want to do something to stop the bloodshed. We see it in Haiti, but even this country, we had a problem that this was never an issue, a transition of power. We had the January 6th
Right.
incident, which it just unbelievably, I can't believe this is America. Or you have these politicians, like I grew up in a dictatorship, so I know when people are sycophant and are, kissing up to authority. I can't believe this. I see American politicians making excuses for bad behavior, for, and
Right.
it's not anti, I'm not anti-Trump, anti-Republican or Democrat, but this is just the reality. People making excuses for grown folks making mistakes, and then, it's we're getting to a point where, tribal, and it's scary.
Right.
And if, people in this country want to see how things can devolve quickly, take a quick good look at Haiti, because that's how it starts, right?
Right.
You don't respect each other. You don't,
Yeah, everyone's out for self and
everybody's out for self,
yeah.
and this is the result. This is Haiti's the result. And I saw a few years ago, people ransacking the Haitian parliament. The politicians were doing it. The public came in, and they were encouraged by some members of parliament, and it was exactly what happened in January 6th. So if Haiti can be used as an example of where things can go, and this country needs to be very careful with some of these demagogues,
Right.
pulling us apart, it can go quick. It can go quick.
Yeah, it can. And finally, what is your hope for Haiti and its future with Francoise? What would you say to people?
For Haiti, I hope peace and prosperity. My mother always told me this because she didn't grow up, she grew up poor. And she always said this, if you're poor, it doesn't mean you don't have integrity. It doesn't mean you don't have honor. It's a temper. It's like anything that has to do with wealth, or it's a transition. Nothing in life is permanent, right? Nothing in life is permanent. And just because you're poor doesn't mean you don't have honor, doesn't mean you don't have value, doesn't mean
Right.
that you can't contribute. And
Oftentimes, it's quite the opposite.
that's quite the opposite. And that's one of the beauties of Francoise. We value people, and we make, and not make, but we encourage them to contribute. We encourage them to contribute to their society by getting together, taking out loans as a group, education, health, one help each other. So Sankose means, coules épaules, like, shoulder to shoulder,
Right.
move forward. So that's my hope for Haiti. We will never be a first world country, but just because we're poor doesn't mean we don't have value and we can't contribute to the world, right? We've done it in our history when we were the first, when we were the first elected, first free black nation, a first black republic, and we were one of the first nations that did away with slavery. So we've contributed, and we help other nations in the Caribbean and Latin South America, like Venezuela, Colombia, and some of these other places, to obtain their independence. So again, poor, but we can contribute. Poor, we have value. Poor, we can be an example of to others how people can live and how people can live, share, and be at peace. And that's one of the things I hope for Haiti, peace in our own form of prosperity as well.
Thank you for listening to Voices of Hope. Fonkoze has been empowering families throughout Haiti for nearly 30 years with the tools and supportive services needed to break the cycle of poverty. To discover more about our impactful work, follow us on Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook at Fonkoze, or visit our website at fonkoze.org.